I'm going to have the guys go ahead and do the slides this evening. That way, we've always had kind of a difficulty with my computer here, so we'll go ahead and do that. If you'll turn to the book of Zephaniah chapter 1, while you're turning there, let me ask you to pray for us. We leave early in the morning to go down to the Atlanta area. I'll be preaching there tomorrow night, and then from about 9 o'clock until noon on Friday, and then have a podcast, and then after that, we come home. I don't like being away from home too often anymore. In verse number 4, we kind of was finishing there. We talked about Judah and Jerusalem, but let's go ahead and read. We're going to try to get about 3 verses finished tonight here. It says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from his place, and the name of the cherubim and with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. Father, help us tonight as we study your word, Lord, that we might honor you, and Lord, that you would be pleased. But Lord, we would take warning as well. Not that we're going to go through all of this if we're believers, but that we might see the what's ahead for the lost. And Lord, that we might try our level best to bring them out of that destruction. God bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We almost got finished with verse number 4 last time. We talked a lot about Judah and the destruction there. We talked about Jerusalem and why the judgment was upon them. To whom much is given, much is required. As we said under the sound of the gospel in a good Bible-believing church, we are responsible for that truth. You have a choice, obey or disobey. Nobody's going to force you. It's all whether you want to or not. But he goes on after he pronounces the judgment on Judah and Jerusalem, and he said, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And we know when Babylon came in and destroyed and took captive, they destroyed Jerusalem and they took captive Judah. They did, Josiah brought all of the people. He said, anybody that's for Baal, you come and worship with me. And boy, he went to the temple there and he made sure that there weren't any Jews there. And he brought everybody, all the priests, and really made like he was one of them. And after everybody got here and he said, count and make sure everybody's here. They counted, they made sure all the priests and everybody was there. And he said, now make sure that there's none of these heretics called the Jews. And they checked, nobody, none of them was there. He said to his army, okay, now kill them all. And they did. And they burnt the house of Baal. And God finished that prophecy. Although the spirit of Baal is still around, they did their best to try to clean things up, the king did. But he says the name of the cherubims, and this cherubims, they are, the terminology is black-robed. Those that were black-robed, these are those that were working within not only with the prophets of Baal, but all of these different religions, they would have their black robes, and that's interesting. You go back and you look at a lot of these religions, and why in the world would they have black robes on? And you look at a lot of the different things in history, and they all kind of tend to go to those. But God said, I'm pronouncing judgment on all of them, and all those priests. But he comes to verse number 5, and this is really where we'll start tonight. The reason for judgment is what I call this. The reason for judgment. He starts out and he says, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. Why would you? Why would that be so bad, worshiping the host of heaven? Because this is the first reason for judgment. It was those that practiced idolatry that is associated with astrology. We're not supposed to worship the host of heaven. We're not supposed to worship the sun or the moon or the stars or all these different things. We are there to worship Almighty God and Him only. It says, them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. The worship of the moon and the stars and the sun and the planets, that was ancient paganism. And that's what he's referring to here. It's astrology. Not just the study of stars. Nothing wrong with looking at the moon and finding out where the planets are and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But he said the worship of these things, that the psychics get into all of this stuff. And you see it in the newspapers and things. The people rely on the horoscopes. And they rely on these things for their guidance. And the stars that they think influence their decisions. And they determine their destiny. And they're worshiping the stars really just as another way of serving the creature rather than the Creator. It's putting trust in another God, another Creator, another supernatural being that can determine or make things happen. And you can look at that star all you want to, and nothing's going to happen, but you'll probably go to sleep. You know, it gets a little boring after a while. The stars don't influence anything. I know you can read the almanac and the sun comes up at this time and all that, and they say, well, that determines this and determines the oceans and stuff. There is some physics to that, but you don't worship that stuff. And this was very, very prevalent there. The astrology dishonors God. Because you're placing, when you're getting into this, the horoscopes and all of this, You're placing that above the Word of God. And actually, you're setting up a different God. You're saying, God can't tell me what to do, and God can't make these things happen, but if I'm in this zodiac sign, then I'm okay, or I've got a problem. Or if these stars align, then we're in trouble. That's a bunch of junk. And you're saying that is greater than the Word of God. There is nothing greater than the Word of God. We talked about in our discipleship tonight the difference between general revelation and specific revelation. General revelation is you go outside and you look at the stars. And anybody with 2 cents worth of brains can tell you somebody put them up there. It's in exactly the way it's supposed to be. 1 degree on either side. 1 degree closer and we burn up. 1 degree farther than the sun and we freeze to death. 1 degree. And all these hundreds of years and thousands of years, everything has been perfect. These people that talk about this global warming and junk like that, they're crazy. They're saying they know more than God. They don't know more than God. And that global warming, whether you turn your car on or not, whether it burns a little oil or not, is not going to change this earth. The earth is designed by God to clean itself, and it does pretty good, has been for all these years, and will continue to do so. But what we do when we start getting so involved in these things, we set up this and even the politicians and all of this as God or above God instead of listening to God's word. And God says that is going to be judged. The second form of judgment, or the reason for judgment, is idolatry associated with false gods. You have different types of idolatry. First of all, there was astrology. Now he talks about the false gods. He says the same thing pretty much in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 12. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, on top of his house, like it said in verse 5, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made, now watch this, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. These folks are so brazen that they will set up their worship of false gods in the house of God. And I think you see that in Christianity all over the world. I've watched people get on their knees and walk on their knees across the cobblestone, and the blood is just dripping from their knees. And then they go up step by step, all the way up. And every step they're praying a different prayer. Every step. Until they get up to this idol and they bow down and they kiss this marble statue, the toe, and they've had to replace it. You know how many times you'd have to kiss marble to wear it out? They've had to replace it several times because there's so much of this false worship that has wore that marble completely off. This stuff goes on today, just like it did back there. The false worship, or the false gods. And he said they had made it in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Did the king beat down and break them down from hence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron? Josiah tried to clean house. And he went on the housetops, like it says in verse number 5, where they were worshiping the host of heaven, and he tore those altars down. Most of their houses over there have flat roofs. We have several of those over in Africa. And we'd go up on top of our roof, and you could have a party up there. Couldn't quite do that back here in the States with a sloped roof. Somebody's going to fall off. But this is what they did, and then they started naming some of these gods and some of the astrology and things, and they called them the Queen of Heaven, the sun, moon, star, the astrology. All of it was a part of worship. In the Bible, the phrase Queen of Heaven refers to a pagan fertility god. Israel worshiped it. Up until the time that Babylon took them into captivity. The phrase Queen of Heaven may refer to the god, or the goddess Ishtar, or Ashtaroth, the Canaan goddess, Anat. There are so many different gods that they had, and some were different names, but in the Bible you see these frequently that they worshiped. Israel worshiped the Queen of Heaven by burning incense and pouring out their drink offerings and baking cakes in honor of her and bringing them to the altar of the Queen of Heaven. You see this happening all over the world as people bring offerings and sacrifices to Mary, who the Catholic Church has dubbed the Queen of Heaven. You see it in India all over, where they bring their food and they try to feed their gods, yet their gods don't eat because they have no mouth. They can't speak. They can't hear. They're just nothing but dead pieces of wood and gold and things like that. And yet these people would worship them. I've seen worship over there in Africa where there's nothing but a rock. And they will come and bow down to that rock, and they will bring their food, and they will bring their sacrifice. They'll bring their chicken and offer the chicken as a sacrifice, which is a big deal. That'd be like taking your prize bull and taking it out there to that rock and cutting its throat and offering it. These things are still going on all over the world. But we think Christianity is just like we celebrate Christianity. It's not. In these different countries of the world, the idolatry that is associated with the false god, God says, I'm going to judge it. What blasphemy when they proclaim Mary as Queen of Heaven, taking the phrase right out of the Bible, which is nothing but a fertility goddess. And you go back to the Bible, there is no Queen of Heaven. There is no Queen of Heaven. There's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will not share his worship with anyone. Mary would never have allowed anyone to worship her. The apostles and Peter, different times in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 14, said, we will not let you worship us. Get up off your feet. We are men. They would not allow worship. And yet, in the Catholic Church, they encourage people to bow down to Mary and Peter and all these different idols that they've established. The angels in Revelation chapter 19 refuse to let anyone worship them, and they are so much greater in power than we are. But they would not accept worship. They say, you worship God and God alone. Notice it says also in verse number 5, and them that worship and swear by the Lord. Why would God judge somebody that is worshiping and swearing by the Lord? Jehovah, that's the word, Jehovah. Why would God judge somebody for worshiping and swearing by Jehovah God? Because of that next word, and that swear by Malcolm. The third reason for judgment, Zephaniah gives an example of the insincerity and the hypocritical worship in the land. He spoke of them that worship and swear by the Lord and swear by Malcolm. He's also called Milcom. He's also called Moloch. These were hypocrites. They were compromisers. They wanted a foot in both camps. They wanted both worlds. The Lord, we want his blessings, but we want Malcolm's blessings too. You can't have it both ways. And Christianity is full of that kind of worship today. Oh, we'll do fine when it comes to Sunday morning and we got nothing going on. We'll come to church. But let somebody come to visit and they become more important than God. Let a playoff game or a baseball game or a basketball game or something like that come up and forget God. We're going to worship our God. I remember when I was just a young boy, my uncle had his own rodeo, indoor rodeo arena. We rodeoed year round. And they'd come from St. Louis and over in Denver and all over from over there to rodeo during the winter so they could keep in practice and stuff like that. And boy, we loved rodeo. I loved it. And rodeo's usually on Sunday a lot of times. Dad, Jack's going to the rodeo. I'm going to go with him. Dad said, no, you're not. My daddy was lost, but he had enough sense to know that God came first. What we give our time to, what we give our money to, what we put our focus on is our God. Why do we give God a special day? Because he's more important than anything else. Why do we come to church instead of working out in the yard? Because God's more important. Why do we tell our kinfolk, why don't you come to church with us? Well, I just don't want to go. Well, we'll see you later because I'm going to church and we'll catch you after church. Why? Because everything else is, there's a dual worship here. God is God until it's not convenient for me. God is God, but I'm going to pray to Malcolm too. God said, I'm going to judge it. I'm going to judge it all. He said, you got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. God says, I want it all. I want 100%. Not 75, not 80. God said, I am God, and there is no other God before me. Don't put another God before me. Anything wrong with rodeo? Going to rodeo? No. But not on Sunday when it's God's day. Why? Because that's the day he set aside to worship. We have to get back and understand that these things are not just small things. It's called hypocritical worship. It's called convenient. We're compromising with the world. They wanted a foot in both camps. They were worshiping false gods at the same time they said they were worshiping Jehovah God. And God says, I'm going to judge it. They pretended to worship God. Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why did he make one total commandment just to that? Because his worship is super, super special and important. They partly worship God, but they partly worshiped idols too. They halted, like Joshua said, they halted between two opinions, occasional conformists. We'll conform to the things of God as long as it's convenient and don't put me out. Politicians, I always laugh. We had one here a while back come to Sunday school, sit right back in here. Didn't realize we don't do things the way he normally does. He got up, he walks down here, and he puts an offering in the thing and walks out. Now I'm supposed to really be excited about that and vote for him. You ever notice politicians don't show up in church until it's time for election? And then they go from church to church to church to church. Are they worshiping? No. They want your vote. They're not worshiping God. It amazed me. When 9-11, I remember 9-11 like it was yesterday. I'm telling you, all of those politicians got out there and held hands, locked arms, and said, pray for America. I wanted to vomit. I really did. Why? In sincere worship. They won't even let kids pray in school. They won't even let the Bible in school. And 2 weeks after that, they were right at everybody's throats, cussing and drinking and all the different stuff that go on. But whenever there's a tragedy, oh, pray for America. They could care less about America. They could care less about God. They just want your vote. That's hypocritical worship. God says, I'm going to judge it. You could go to a lot of different things. Let's take music. You can take, you say, you're meddling now. I hope so. What are they going to do? Send me back to Africa? Glory to God. You can put Jesus' words to rock music and it does not make it Christian. It doesn't make it Christian. You can have somebody that says they're saved get up and they swallow that mic just oohing and awing. Boy, they're just entertainers. Watch their life when they're not on stage. What's God say in James chapter 3 and verse 11? A principle that changed my life. He says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And the answer is no. You turn the tap on, either it's sweet water or it's salt water. It's bitter. You don't mix them. When you start mixing, it changes everything. The same thing with music. You can put Jesus' words to it. It don't change what it is. You can have a lost person. They tell me Elvis Presley got saved on an elevator. Look at his life. They tell me these politicians get saved. Look at their life. God said, be a fruit inspector. Does a fountain give forth sweet water and bitter out of the same tap? No. And God said, I am going to judge this. It is hypocritical worship. It's hypocritical worship. The charismatics over in Africa, they'd get up, they're going to have a meeting, and boy, they'd get out there, and for hours they would play rock music, and people, drunks and everybody else, come off of it, and they're dancing up there, they're just having a big time and everything. Then they get what we call their queen dancers. These are folks from their church. And they get up there, and boy, I mean, they're getting it, boy, and their dresses. Hypocritical worship. And God said it makes him sick. He said, I am going to judge this. I am going to pour out my wrath upon this world for this. The convenience worship. People still in sodomy going to church and saying, hey, I'm fine. He said, oh, I don't do that. I got a relative. I've tried and tried to talk to him about the Lord. But he's got a preacher that's a sodomite. And he says it's okay. So that makes it okay. No, it doesn't. It does not. And they still go and they're holding their hands and they're all the stuff that goes on in the worship services in their churches, and that is hypocritical worship. Naked woman passed over all the men getting the aisle and passed a naked woman all the way down the aisle, and they lay her on the table and then they have communion on her naked body in church. Hypocrisy. And God says, I'm going to judge it. People, Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's nothing but a booze party. It's just an excuse to go out and get drunk. Has nothing to do with Christ. Has nothing to do with giving thanks to the Lord. We may take 5 minutes or just maybe 1 minute and pray and thank God, and the rest of the day is nothing but about me. It's about party. Christ isn't anywhere involved in it. The fourth reason for judgment. The reference to Moloch is an indication of the people's cruelty. Cruelty. Moloch was a fierce Ammonite god whom little children were sacrificed. Moloch would have his hands stretched out like this. He was made of brass, and it was hollow, and they would put a fire in the bottom, and it would heat that brass up to where it was cherry red. And they had a basin. And they would bring the milk of the mother, and they would put it in the basin, and they would take them little babies, and they would lay them in that milk, and they would burn their own children to death. The cruelty. People call themselves Christians, do it all the time. We sacrifice our children on the altar of pleasure. Some people call it doing business. Other people call it, well, it's my career. I'm doing it for the kids. Your boat ain't for your kids. Your fancy car ain't for your kids. That home that is twice as big as you can ever take care of, that's not for your kids, that's for you. Where are your kids? I don't know. I don't see them. I don't see them in the morning. I'm at work. I don't see them at night. I'm still working. And you wonder why they don't want to talk to you? Why you've lost them? You sacrificed your kids for a career. Some people call this abortion. What's the difference in killing a baby in the womb or putting it on the altar of Moloch and let him burn it to death? It's still murder. We have so much more associating in Zephaniah in our day than you can imagine. We just soften it up. Instead of calling it a coffin, we call it an internment box. Instead of funeral home, we call it, well, you know, we're going to the rest home or the rest place. Or they'll change all the names so it softens everything, makes it sound good. Well, you can change the names on these things, but God still knows the definition. He still knows what it's all about. Look at verse 6. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. The fifth reason for judgment is apostasy. Here Zephaniah speaks of the apostasy, them that are turned back from the Lord. They profess to know God, but deliberately turn their backs on him. Apostasy is coming face to face with the truth. You know it's the truth, and you turn your back on the truth and you walk away from it. These people were worshiping God, Jehovah, and these idols, Moloch, these false gods. They knew the truth, and there come a point, maybe because of family pressure, maybe because of the religious pressure or something, and finally they said, forget Jehovah, we're going with Moloch. And they apostatized to Moloch, and these false gods deliberately turned their back on him. Well, people say, well, the preacher said this, and I was hurt by the church. So being religious is not salvation. Somebody said, well, I was in the Church of God, and then I went to the Jehovah Witnesses and became a Jehovah Witness. Well, now I left them, and I'm a Catholic now. Lost as lost can be. They claim to know Jesus Christ. They claim to be saved, and they have no concept of salvation of God, and they turn their back on the truth and walk away. God says, I hate it. Apostasy. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These people knew there was a God. They could see the creation. They knew there was a God there. They knew they should be worshiping him. And because of whatever it was, for financial reasons or politics or the prestige or what, they turn their backs on God and walk away from the truth. They acknowledge that there was a God, but would not accept him or would not receive him as their Savior. It's not saying they were saved and lost their salvation, but they departed. They recognized there was a God, and they turned away from him. The sixth reason for judgment was unbelief. Outright rejection. That was prevalent. It says in verse number 6, those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. These unbelievers had no interest in God whatsoever. I've knocked on doors and said, I don't want to hear it. I don't believe in God. I don't want anything you've got to do. That's your privilege. The Lord promises here to completely and fully and forever destroy them. He's done with it. There's two classes of people mentioned here. Those that turn from God. Some people think it describes those that came to God in Joaz's time. Maybe in that supposed revival that didn't last very long because the wickedness was so deep-rooted. We have over in Africa when Idi Amin took over and he wanted to make it a caliphate. He wanted to make it a Muslim state, a Muslim country. And he was killing everybody that wasn't Muslim. You know what everybody did? They become a Muslim. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know anything about Muslim. They didn't go to the mosque, but I'm Muslim. How many times have I heard when you're trying to give somebody the gospel and they say, well, my parents were Catholic. Hey, my parents were Baptist. I don't care what your parents were. What are you? It's convenient. Well, I'm a Christian because my parents were Christian. Then why did Jesus have to come and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary if you could get to heaven that way? Why are you what you are? In 1 John 2:19 it says, they went out from us but they were not of us, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. When people leave, it's not just because they got their feathers ruffled. God's putting them through a sifter. And they're leaving, and usually they don't just go to another better church. They go somewhere they can feel comfortable, get their ears tickled, or they don't even go at all. They went out from us because they were not of us. And they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Said they were, but God says no. Zephaniah is quite a character. He really puts it down where the rubber meets the road. And he says also, those have not sought us. They were never with God. They were never saved. They claimed all different kinds of stuff. Others say, well, you take your God and fly a kite. I like kite flying. I'll fly a kite. But God don't forget. When somebody is at that point and they say, look, I don't want anything to do with it, they are treading light water. All of these things, God says, I'm going to judge. I'm going to destroy them forever. You may be saved, but look how many people outside these walls are not. We must get the gospel to these people. I don't like driving. And especially, I don't like driving at night anymore. I can't see very well. I'm disoriented. It just scares me to death. But I'm driving all the way down Atlanta tomorrow morning to preach to these missionaries and these other churches coming in. And I'm going to preach on Friday, and we're going to leave after we have lunch and after that podcast, and we're going to come back and be in the dark. Why do I do that? Because people are going to hell. And God wants to use us to get the gospel to them. Are you a convenient Christian? We need to show people by our lives and with our mouth that God means something. And He's more important than anything. Because God is going to judge this hypocrisy and things of this nature. Idolatry, false gods, all of it. Next week we're going to get into Revelation. I'm going to go through the entire book of Revelation really in just a short period of time next week. Because I want you to see what God said, and He said, I'm going to judge it. How's He going to do it? And we're going to get into that next week. But God says, no more. I'm done with these folks. They've crossed that deadline. It's finished. I'm done. I wouldn't want to be in that category. May we pray tonight? Father, I don't know any heart in this building except my own. And Lord, You have pronounced judgment so clearly in several different, given us several different reasons for your judgment. I pray, Father, that if anyone here tonight is not saved, that tonight might be the night that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, realizing that they will go through that judgment. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us as Christians, that we might become bold and witness and share Christ with others so they would not have to go through all of those judgments. Lord, bless us. Help us as we exalt you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.